I want you to get your Bible this evening, and please turn, if you will, to the book of Luke, chapter number 14, if you will. I told you this morning the title of this evening's sermon. It's called, That My House May Be Filled. That My House May Be Filled. Luke, chapter 14, once you arrive there, find verse number 22, if you will. We're going to read just a couple of verses. I'm going to allude to many, many, many verses this evening. Once you found it, would you stand with me? Luke chapter 14, look at verse number 22. Luke chapter 14, verse 22. I'll read it out loud and you can follow along. The Bible says, And the servant said, Lord, it is done as thou hast commanded, and yet there is room. And the Lord said unto the servant, Go out into the highways and the hedges, and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. For I say unto you, that none of those men which were bidden shall taste of my supper. There went a great multitude with him, and he turned and said unto them, If any man come to me, and hate not his father, and mother, and his wife, and children, and brethren, and sisters, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. The verse that we're interested in most is that one in verse number 23. Those last few words in verse 23 where it says, That my house may be filled. And let's pray. Father, bless us this evening. Help us as we study your book and we preach Jesus and the importance of the kingdom of heaven. Lord, I realize we're out this evening in difficult weather. So, Lord, help us to get something out of the effort that's been put into everyone's attendance tonight. Might we be a better church? Might we be better Christians because of what we hear this evening, please? And Lord, most of all, might you be glorified? And secondarily, I hope that there'll be people in heaven because of tonight's sermon, please. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, as you all know, next week is our missions conference, and we'll have missionaries speaking on Sunday. I wanted to make sure that I took a few minutes tonight to give us as a church prior to the conference a little challenge about the thought of missions. I love the theme of next week's missions conference, holding the ropes, and I'm excited about it. If you were listening to what was being said just a moment ago, we were reading that scripture, and there in Luke 14:23 it says, And the Lord said unto the servant, Go out into the highways and the hedges and compel them to come in, that my house might be filled. Now, let me tell you this. There are a couple applications for that verse. First of all, the New Testament church, we call this God's house. And I think God wants us to have a full church. I really do believe that. And we've not had any problem with that here at our church. Every time we get a bigger facility, we fill it up. And that's because we're gaining weight so fast we can't stand it. We're doing some of that, but we're reaching people. And so we have a full house. But not only that, not only is there the application about having a full house filling up the New Testament church, the other application is the Lord here, if we took that as the Heavenly Father, the Lord God, Jehovah, he wants his house full. And where's his house? That is the heavenly house. In John 14:2, it says this, In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And so we see that God in heaven, his house, he wants his house full. God on earth wants his earthly house full, the New Testament church. I think God said, I want my house filled. Now, tonight, I'm not talking about the New Testament church, although the filling of the New Testament church has something to do with the filling of those mansions in God's heavenly home. And so it is a part of it. But tonight, I lean toward this thought of God saying, In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And God, and when we apply Luke 14:22, that God said, I want my house filled. I think we all, from all the truth in the Bible, know God wants heaven full of people. God wants his house filled. I wonder what God's house up there is like. I don't think we should have a hard time convincing people to want to go to God's house. Let me talk to you for a couple of minutes. What is God's house like? Well, the Bible says in Isaiah 57, verse 15, it's a high place. The Bible says in Psalm 20, verse 6, that it is a holy place. The Bible says in Revelation 7, 17, that it is a happy place. The Bible says in Revelation 21, 4, it's a place where there is no death. The Bible says in Revelation 21, verse 4, that it is a place where there is no sorrow. The Bible says in Revelation 21, 4, God will wipe away all tears. The crying will stop. The Bible says in Revelation 21, 4, that this place called heaven, God's house, it's a place where there will be no pain. The Bible tells us in Revelation 22, verse number 3, 4, and 5, that there is no darkness or night there, and Jesus is the light that will shine and fill that place with light. The Bible says in Revelation 7:16, this place called God's house, God's home, the place called heaven, is a place where there'll be no hunger. The Bible tells us in Revelation chapter 7, verse number 16 and 17, that in heaven it's a place where there'll be no thirst. In heaven there'll be no laziness. In heaven it's a place where the devil cannot enter. In Revelation 20, verse 10, it says, "And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever." The devil will be locked up in another place, and he will have no entry into heaven. In other words, when we get to heaven, and all these people that we ought to be influencing to go to heaven, the devil can't tempt anymore. He can't deceive anymore. He can't attack anymore. He can't confuse anymore. He can't hate that person and hurt them anymore. He can't pervert the things in their mind or destroy anymore. You see, this place called heaven, this house of God, the place that we're trying to go to, it's a place where the devil can't enter. But not only that, it's a place where thieves cannot enter, according to Luke chapter 22, verse number 3. It's a place that evil will not be. Evil people and evil actions won't be present, according to Revelation 21:8. In other words, those that would cause the fear of other humans, that won't go on in heaven. Those that could commit abominations against God, that won't be going on in heaven. We won't have to deal with that. There won't be murder there. That people won't be doing wrong, no witchcraft, idolatry. No one will lie to you in heaven. You know, down here on the earth, I mean, it's just pretty common. You can do better in politics if you can lie on your way in. But in heaven, it won't be like that. Listen, this place called heaven, this place where God said, I want my house full. It's not real hard to promote the quality of this place that He wants us to fill up. According to Matthew chapter 6, verse number 9, it is where God the Father lives. I hope you understand where we're going. I've been talking to Jesus and talking to God and talking to the Holy Spirit for a long time, but I'm going to meet Him. I'm going to meet Him. And look, you know, I've traveled the world. I've been out of this country. I've been around the United States of America. I think there's only two states that I've not preached in America. I've been in some really nice hotels. I've been in some really nice facilities. But can you imagine how nice God's house is? I mean, we're talking about real quality stuff, you know. It wasn't bought from the clearance rack down at Lowe's. We're talking about high quality. And God said, I want my house, I want it filled up. I want it to be full. See, this place called heaven, it's a place where the angels are, according to Matthew 18:10. It's a place where all the saved of all history will live, and according to 1 Thessalonians 4:14. It's a place where the works of the flesh will not be allowed. If you've ever glanced at Galatians chapter 5, verse 19, 20, and 21, the works of the flesh, it won't happen in heaven, which is good for a couple reasons. First of all, we don't have to be around those that are practicing the works of the flesh. But to me, even better than that, I don't have to deal with my flesh. I don't know about all of you, but I think my biggest heartbreak in life is I get so tired of telling the Lord I'm sorry. I get so tired of saying, okay, Lord, I gave into this again and I blew it in this area again. I cannot wait to get to heaven so I can't sin against my Father anymore. But when you get to heaven, there won't be adultery there, or fornication there, or uncleanness there. No gossip, no division, no temper, no heresy, no jealousy. There won't be fighting, no drunkenness. That'll all be done away with. This place called heaven where God said, I want it filled up. I want you to fill my house. In this place called heaven, there's a place that's called the River of Life, the purest water you've ever seen, according to Revelation chapter 22, verse number 1. According to Revelation chapter 22, verse number 2, it's a place where there is pure fruit, a tree that bears 12 different kinds of fruit. It's a place of perfect provision, according to Revelation 22. It's a place of no sin at all. It's totally sinless, according to Revelation 22, verse number 3. In other words, the curse of sin will be done away with. Then it's a place of a perfect government, Revelation 22, verse number 3. You say, well, what kind of government will it be? It'll be a kingdom. And we'll have a king. You say, will there be an election? No, it's already been taken care of. You say, who won the election? God the Father won the election. And he will make the world great again. It's a place where there is perfect service to God, according to Revelation 22, 3. It says, and his servants shall serve him there. According to Revelation 22, 4, it's a place where he will finally get to see his face. It's a place of rest, according to Hebrews 4:9. It's a place where we'll get to be with Jesus, according to John 14:3. It's a place where we will receive our inheritance as God's children, according to Romans chapter 8, verse 17 and 18. According to 2 Timothy 2:12, it's a place where we'll get to share in leadership with God and reign with him. It's a place where the stars will shine, and hey, if you're a soul winner, you may get to shine like a star. According to Daniel chapter 12, verse number 3. 1 Corinthians 9, 24 and 25 says it's a place where we will receive crowns of reward that we can cast at Jesus' feet. Hey, according to Genesis 1:1, heaven is a place that God created. According to 2 Corinthians 5:1, it's a place where we are going to get to live forever. It's a place where there will be no divided loyalties. You say, why? Well, Revelation 22:4 says, and his name shall be in their foreheads. We will all belong to him, and there'll be no doubt about it, and there'll be perfect unity when we get to heaven. Hey, you'll like this. In heaven, there's not going to be any funerals. No grieving, no coffins, no tombstones, no mausoleums, no obituaries, no hearses, no wakes, no viewings, no graves, no graveyards. When we get to heaven, there'll be no hospitals. Susan, you're going to have to get a better job. No need for healing when you get to heaven. No ambulances in heaven, no emergency rooms, no need for doctors. Ronnie, no medicines. We're going to have to get you another occupation. You'll have to golf or something. No heart monitors, no need for nurses, no rubber gloves, no stethoscopes, no insurance premiums. You all love the Lord, don't you? No insurance premiums. That's this place that God said, I want it filled up. I want it full of people. Hey, in heaven, no crime. No need for security systems. No state police. No county police. No city police. No prisons needed. No badges. No guards. No FBI. No CIA. No jails. No forensics needed. No court proceedings. Hey, when you get to heaven, there's not going to be any sickness there. No blindness. No cancer. No depression. No deafness. No multiple sclerosis or MS, no broken bones, no heart attacks, no back problems, no ulcers, no stitches, not in heaven. There won't be evil people there. People that there will have been saved and we'll get glorified bodies. God's going to clean us up. And when we get there, we're going to be all fixed up. You say, well, I know some saved people. I'm not sure I want to be around. They'll be changed. They'll finally be everything they're supposed to be when they get there. But when we get there, you don't have to deal with murderers up the street. You know, you get your mansion. There's no murderer that lives across the street. There won't be any robberies and no rapes or kidnapping or abuses or hate. No deaths due to drunk driving. You know, God said, what I'd like to do is I'd just like to fill my house with people. It shouldn't be a hard sale. Now, that's a wonderful place. And I could have kept going till midnight and not told you everything that's wonderful about heaven. And so this place, he said, I want my house filled. What's it like? It is amazing. It's just amazing. Well, then secondly, let me remind all of us of this. God wants everybody saved and he wants everybody to come to his house someday. That's his goal. The Bible says in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9, it says, "The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." Now, God doesn't make anybody get saved. He lets us choose whether we want salvation or not. But you say, what's he want? He wants everybody saved. But he doesn't make you get saved. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Now, Romans chapter 10, verse number 13 says, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Do you know who that whosoever refers to? It refers to you. You can be glad of that. It referred to me. Whosoever means whoever will. Whoever will. See, God's got this place called heaven, and it's swank. You're talking about high, top quality, top dog place to go. And God said, fill her up. Fill this place up. God doesn't feel the same way about his family coming to visit him as you do about your family coming to visit you. You know, when they come visit, you say, "I'll be so glad when they're gone." This place called heaven, it's different than that. God wants it filled up. Who does he want there? He wants everybody there. He doesn't want anyone to miss this place that he has prepared. We sing it, but sometimes I'm not sure that we mean it. Jesus loves the little children, all the little children of the world, red and yellow, black and white. They're all precious in his sight. Jesus loves the little children of the world. You know what? God wants those mansions filled. He loves all the children. Hey, if you're not saved, God wants you saved. God wants you to be there. But you know, most of the people under the sound of my voice tonight, you are saved. Well, that means then God would like us to help fill the place. We're all a part of the team, and our job is to fill those mansions. God wants your neighbors saved. God wants your in-laws saved, alias outlaws saved. God wants, you say, "Oh, I don't want them in heaven. They're terrible to get along with." God's going to change them. Or change you, whichever the problem is. I'm not sure which the problem is, but I'm just telling you, God wants everybody saved. Did you know that God wants everybody in North Carolina to get saved? He wants everybody in Maryland to get saved. He wants everybody in West Virginia to get saved, or Virginia, or Texas, or Colorado. He wants everybody in South Carolina saved. He wants everybody in Kentucky to get saved. He wants everybody in Maine and Tennessee and Florida and New Mexico and Mississippi and California and Ohio. He wants everybody in Louisiana to be saved. And did you know you do not have to have a passport to get from here to Texas? That's just a little inside joke. You just have to figure it out for yourself. God wants everybody in every state saved. You know, God wishes that all over the United States of America there were churches like the Twin Rivers Baptist Church that go out day after day after day keeping people out of hell. That's really what it's all about. You see, God wants everybody saved. Hey, folks, but don't forget. Not only does God want people here in our city saved, and not only does God want people across the United States of America saved, God wants people around the world saved. God wants everybody in Canada to get saved. God wants everybody in Mexico to get saved, and everybody in France to get saved, and everybody in England to get saved. God would like to see everybody in Portugal get saved, and everybody in Poland to get saved. Everybody in Ireland and Venezuela and Uganda and Haiti and Puerto Rico. God wants to see those people saved around the world. People in the Ukraine and Yugoslavia and the Philippines and Panama and New Zealand and Madagascar. God wants everybody in Iceland to get saved. You know, we never think about this. There are people all around the world, and they need the gospel, and they need to get saved. See, God has this place called heaven, and he said, "I've got these mansions, fill them up. I want everybody to get saved from all around the world, not just those people in your community, but all around the world." He wants everybody in Iceland to get saved and everybody in Korea. You know what the answer is for our North Korea problem? Revival in North Korea, where they get their eyes off the false gods of the world and get their eyes on Jesus Christ. That could turn around the threat in North Korea. God wants everybody in Iraq and Bulgaria and Kuwait and Italy and Sweden and New Guinea to get saved. God wants everybody in Albania and Israel and Russia and Iran. God wants everybody in Germany to get saved. You know what they call pastors in Germany? German shepherds. It's true. God wants everybody in Taiwan saved, and everybody in Norway saved, and everybody in Africa and China and Australia. You name the country, God wants them saved. You name the state, God wants them saved. You name the county, God wants them saved. You name the city, God wants them saved. You name the house, God wants them saved. You name the family name, God wants them saved. Why? God's got this magnificent place. It is spotless. It's everything you could ever dream of, and God made a place where people could go, and he said, I want to get as many people as I can to go there. You know, God evidently, and this is the third point of my sermon, God wants heaven's properties filled with mansions. He wants it filled. In Luke 14:23, it says, and the Lord said unto the servant, go out into the highways and the hedges and compel them to come in that my house may be filled. I believe that all across heaven, there's property, lots of it. And God has a dream of mansions that are going to be built all over heaven. And heaven is God's home. Those mansions are built in God's home. There are lots that are ready for mansions to be built. I don't think we want there to be empty lots. We don't want empty lots. You know, when Mrs. Owens and I lived in West Virginia, we moved into a subdivision. And when we first moved into it, I'm telling you, there were people buying houses in that subdivision like they were building houses. They'd buy a lot and build a house, and it was just going like crazy. And then it died off. Now when you drive through there, there's a bunch of empty lots. And it's kind of a sad thing. It's a sad thing. Let me tell you, more sad than that is we get to heaven. I believe there's going to be territory in heaven where there won't be mansions. I hope you can remember this sermon when you get there. Because when we, well, if you get there, but when you get there, I hope you remember this sermon. Because I think there'll be places where there'll be mansions built and people living, and all of a sudden you'll see a vacant lot. I wonder if that wasn't somebody you were supposed to win to Jesus Christ. They never got their mansion. They missed it for some reason. God wants us to take all those lots in heaven. He wants to build mansions. And if you remember, he told the disciples, he said, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it was not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And the minute somebody gets saved, he starts their mansion. But you don't need to start a mansion unless you got a person to move into it. Huh. I think God wants to fill those empty lots with mansions. He said that my house might be filled. I love to sing the song, I've got a mansion just over the hilltop in that bright land where we'll never grow old. And someday yonder we will never more wander but walk on streets that our purest gold. I love that song. I've got a mansion. If you're saved, you've got a mansion. But the lost people, they don't have a mansion. And the key is Jesus Christ. You know, one of the reasons we're having a missions conference is we're busy in our area. And we're trying. We're distributing mansions. Every time we get somebody saved, they may not realize all the benefit that goes along with that salvation, but they get a mansion out of that. But we're busy trying to reach our area, but God told us, don't only focus on your area. There are people around the world that need to be saved. And God so desires that people be saved, He prepares a place for them, hoping that He's going to build a mansion in that place. God wants to build a mansion for someone. Hey, let me remind you, it may be that there's somebody that you personally need to win to Jesus Christ because God has a lot ready to start their mansion. I hope you'll do your part. I have a friend, and to be honest, he's been very successful. most of you, if you started mentioning names of who you would speculate it would be, you would be off because you don't know this person. This man is a very successful man. And he helped to fund a ministry out in the central part of the United States. And I would go out and I'd preach for him and we would get together. And I'm just, it's this guy that's got money. He's got money to burn, but he's very gracious and he's very giving. And I wish he would give me some of that, but that's neither here nor there. Are you listening to this CD? But I was out there just a few years ago, and he said, Brother Owens, he said, I wanna take you for a drive. And he had hundreds and hundreds of acres that he owned, and the people that had served in his ministries through the years, this was remarkable to me. We started driving, and we drove up a road, and he said, you see that house right there? He said, so-and-so lives in that house. They've been with me for 25 years, and I built them that house, and I gave them that house, and that's there. That I gave them that house as a gift. And we went around the block, and he said, you see that house? So-and-so has been with me for 18 years, and I built that house, and I gave them that house. And he said, watch when we pull around back. There's about 9 bicycles. They got all sorts of kids. And he said, I just love them. And then we went around about 25 houses. You go to another place, and he owned hundreds of acres, hundreds. And he said, after someone's been with me so long, loyal and sacrifice and work hard, he said, I give him a house. I give him a piece of land. I give him a house. He was so thrilled. And I was sitting back in awe. I'm going, wow, that is so incredible. You got this big community and just people that had worked hard in the ministry, and he rewarded them. You say, that is remarkable. Well, let me tell you something. The Heavenly Father has built you a mansion. You're getting the same benefit. And we may take a drive when we get to heaven. There won't be cars there. You'll have to learn how to drive a chariot. Women chariot drivers. This ought to be interesting. Sounds really dangerous to me. But we'll get to heaven. And you know, I think if Jesus got in your chariot, he would say, see that house right there, that mansion? I built that for them. See that mansion right there? I built that for them. See that mansion right there? I built that for them. And I wonder if we'll drive by an empty lot and Jesus won't say, that's one we didn't get. We missed them on the bus route. That's when somebody got stingy and they didn't give their faith promise. They bought themselves something nice instead of helping the missionary to get someone saved in Uganda. We'll take that tour. Listen, let's help somebody get a mansion. You win them to Jesus Christ so my Father's house might be filled. Or make sure that you give to a soul-winning church, because that helps to fill those mansions. Let's make sure that we're prepared to give our faith promise. Why? Because the kind of missionaries we'll support here at our church are the kind of missionaries that will help people get mansions. And that's done through salvation, getting people saved. Wouldn't it be something? And I really believe this is possible. Preacher Kroom, I believe that when you get to heaven, I believe Jesus could take you for a stroll, and I believe he can take you and say, Preacher, see the person living in that mansion, that's somebody you won to Jesus Christ. And Preacher, that person right there, that mansion right there, they're there because you won them to Jesus Christ. They're there because of your effort at the church, the faithful 20 years over and over and over again presenting the gospel. Listen, there are some of you don't understand. You've given money to missions and people have been saved that you don't even know about because of your money. I think Jesus is going to be able to say, you see that great big cluster of mansions right up there on the hillside? We put all the ones that you influenced for salvation right up there so you could glance at the mansions that are up there. They're going to be phenomenal. But God said, I want my house full. And it's a quality place to go. He said, I'll build the mansions. You just get the word out. You tell them how to get here. I'll take care of the rest. What a deal. When you get to heaven, it may be that you'll take a tour like I took with my earthly friend. And I mean, my jaw just dropped open. I just couldn't believe what he was telling me. Weren't you amazed when I told that story a minute ago about, and now there's two kinds of people that heard that story and how they took it in. There's some that say, well, I wish somebody would give me one. That's funny, because I was thinking the exact opposite. I was thinking, I wish I could give them. I wish I could give them. Wouldn't it be neat to be able to just do things like that for people? Folks, you and I may not financially be able to go buy a bunch of houses for people. We can help them get a mansion. And your faith might not be strong enough to take that totally in tonight, but let me promise you, every person that you help get saved, they get a mansion. I've got a feeling they're going to look you up in heaven and say, high five, come on, this is great. I had no idea the day I prayed with you that I was getting this mansion. Wow. I think we probably ought to just go through life singing, come and go with me to my Father's house, to my Father's house, to my Father's house. Oh, come and go with me to my Father's house, where there's joy, joy, joy. The devil won't be there in my Father's house. Jesus is the way to my Father's house. Folks, we get to walk on streets of gold in my Father's house. The sermon tonight is entitled, That My House May Be Filled. God's got a heaven. There are lots where He's prepared to build mansions. He wants every lot to have a mansion. He wants all people to get saved. You and I might not be able to give mansions away personally, but we have the key to get people mansions to help fill the Heavenly Father's house. And that is Jesus Christ and the plan of salvation. I was in, Mrs. Owens and I, we were in Haiti this last year. And I was watching some of the people. If you've never been in a third world country where poverty is so terrible, but I remember this. We got to win some people to Christ in Haiti. And this occurred to me. I thought, I can't wait for that person to open their eyes in heaven. They have been in fear of their life. And honey, it's just like there's some people we're around is just demonic. How nasty and vile some of the situations were where we were at. And I thought the people that got saved, one day, they're going to open their eyes in heaven. Can you imagine how amazed someone that has virtually starved all their life when they get to heaven and there's no more hunger and there's no more fear of death and they have everything they need. They have the clothing they need and the water that they need. And get this, everybody there loves them. That is going to be so awesome. But you know, maybe more so for some of those that do without. And maybe some of us that have everything we need. But in my Father's house are many mansions. And He said, fill them up. Let's take it as a personal challenge. You say, well, Pastor, we can't reach the whole world. Yeah, but let's try. But through God's plan, we can reach out to missionaries who can help us to get it done. We can reach people around the world. And that's what our missions conference is truly all about. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes, every head bowed, every eye closed. If you're here tonight and you've never trusted Christ as Savior, may I highly recommend that you get saved tonight. You come, we'll take a Bible and show you how to be saved. Then, may I say to the rest, maybe you ought to come and take a moment and pray and say, Father, what would you have me to do in this missions conference? How can I help? Maybe you can give $1 a week. Maybe it's 50 cents a week. And maybe you could give even more. Maybe you ought to pray about it. Some of you need to get your eyes on the plight of the souls of men. Take a little more interest in eternity. Let's help people get mansions. I will tell you this, and I'll say everybody in here, everybody's interested in how to invest money, and everybody's interested in how to make money. I know, folks, I mean, I know people that are multi-millionaires, and the ones that I've spoken to that love the Lord, they say the best investment I've ever made is finding places where people are being saved and investing in that. They said I get more fulfillment and God blesses me more because of that investment than any other investment I have. I hope you'll put that into your portfolio. The souls of men. Who here tonight would say, Preacher, God has definitely spoken to my heart tonight in this service. He said something to me. Would you raise your hand and let God see it? I see lots of hands. We're going to have a time of altar call. You may put your hands down if you need to come and pray for our missions conference. You come. Maybe you know somebody that's lost that needs to get saved. Maybe you ought to come pray for them. But if you need the altar, I want you to come. Let's prepare our hearts for next week's conference. Sarah, would you begin to play for us? Let's stand to our feet with our heads bowed, our eyes closed. Do you need a moment at the altar? Hey, when was the last time you helped somebody get them a mansion? When was the last time? When you don't give your tithe like you ought to, that's bad. It's disobedience. But let me tell you something. It could affect somebody's eternity. One thing our church does, you may get tired of me talking about it, but we're after the souls of men. We want to get people saved. In our main church service, we're going to preach it. I promise you, the four men that helped me to lead in our children's churches, they're after the souls of men. That's why you see those kids come week after week after week getting saved. Those men were picked because they care about the souls of men. I wouldn't have picked someone to preach in one of those children's churches that didn't care about the souls of men. That's a big deal to us. We believe in eternity. And you and I, maybe you can't go soul winning in Haiti like my wife and I did. Maybe you can't go soul winning in Mexico like my wife and I could. Maybe you can't go soul winning in some of those foreign countries. But a missionary can help do it. Now that doesn't take place of your soul winning. You'd be a soul winner right here in New Bern, North Carolina. But you can help reach people around the world by giving to a missions program, especially a soul-winning missions program. Hey, let's hold the rope. Let's become a strength, a support behind our missionaries. And while we continue the altar call, let me say, you know, some of you know people that are going through tough times. You know people that are not well. You know people that are hungry or cold. Hey, those people that are saved, thank God for the faith that we have. There is coming a day when they'll get to this place called heaven that I described to you earlier. You talk about eyes wide open and a glorious moment when they open their eyes in heaven. It will be fantastic. Thank God that heaven will be a miraculous place of reprieve and goodness and kindness and purity. Until then, we need to just keep going forward for Jesus Christ. Sunday school teacher, get the gospel out. Bus captains, bus workers, get the gospel out. Church members, get the gospel out. Let's reach people for Jesus Christ. Heaven is going to be wonderful. Sarah, if you'll remain standing, I want to say one last thing. We'll pray and go. All the wonderful things about heaven, I'm going to promise you, they're fantastic. But when you get to heaven, the thing that you're going to want to see the most is Jesus. You say, I'm going to see the pearly gates and the streets of gold, and I'm going to go see those mansions. You'll get to see them all. But when you get to heaven, He's going to be like a magnet, and you're going to be like a piece of steel. When you get to heaven, you're going to think, I'm just attracted. Where is He at? I plan to hit the streets running. I'm going to go find Him because I cannot wait to see Jesus. He is what makes heaven most beautiful. And all the rest is secondary. What a wonderful thing, Jesus Christ and what He means to us.